Praise the Lord. Amen. I can get down if y'all don't think I can. Y'all may get down? People said, don't do it, man. Glory be to God. I want to tell you, it's an honor to have new people here this morning. If you're brand new, never been to Cowboy Church before, what we love to do at Cowboy Church, not embarrass you, we don't do that, but I think it's important as we did while we greeted each other that we welcome people that's never been here before. I refuse to have cliques in church. I know people love to sit with different people, and I like that. It's not a clique. But when you won't let anybody in because, you know, you love your little surrounding, I think that's not right. I think we are to all receive each other as the family of God because we're all born of the Lord. Amen? And if you're not, you're going to get saved today. So, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you allow our church just to welcome you the way we welcome everyone with a great round of applause? But all we need to know is that you're here and who you are. So, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you mind just raise your hand way up? Let me see it. And then you can put it right back down. I see it. You got you. Thanks for coming, man. Thank you guys for coming. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Hopefully you got a visitor packet. If you did, then please pull out that visitor card and the pen that's in that visitor packet. And if you don't mind, just fill it out and send it to the offering buckets up here in a minute. It just gives us a record that you came. Used to be Sweet Doris. I want to tell you about Doris. Doris is a precious woman that Judge was telling me about earlier. Jamie and I were just talking about her and trying to get a hold of her, and so now I know how to get a hold of her a little better. She would call someone every single week and let them know. But man, she's just been battling a few health issues, and she's going into a place where they can take care of her a little bit better. So I want you to lift up Doris constantly, that people would that are trained. And you know, a lot of times it's hard on friends, it's hard on family, but I thank God that he's the one that is the provision. He's the provider, and that he'll take care of Doris the way she needs to be taken care of. Because I'm telling you, she's a mighty woman of God. So lift up Doris. But also, we now have other people that call. And I believe it's Lily that calls and welcomes people. We just do it one time. And we just want you to know that it's an honor. So please put your number on that card. We don't harass you. But it's also a great time that if you need some questions answered about this church, how we got started, what we believe. Now, let me help you out on that. We believe the Bible from the front to the back. Amen? And there's no sense in leaving anything out. Let's just believe what the Word of God says. And because really, there's one of everybody here. If I did a show of hands, how many of you was raised Baptist? Let me see your hand. There's quite a few of you crazy people. How many of you was raised Methodist? Let me see your hand. See ya? You used to be the shouting Methodist. How many of you was raised non-denominational, Pentecostal, Assembly of God? How many of you might have been raised Church of Christ, Nazarene? I mean, the list can go on, and people will start shouting out. How many was raised Catholic? You know, what was you raised? Episcopalian. Y'all crazy. I mean, but listen to me. How many of you? Well, the whole deal is we're all family, and we're all going to be in heaven together, praise God. I always say it like this. If you Baptists aren't used to the tambourine-shaking Pentecostals, you better get used to it here, because you're going to live next to one in heaven. Amen? So it's a pleasure to have new people. Appreciate you being here. Now, listen to me. Go ahead, guys and girls, whoever. This is the time to clap your hands for tithes and offerings. Amen? Now, I was thinking about this just a little bit ago in my office before I came out here, and Howdy and I prayed. If you have a Bible, I want you to see something in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to wait just for a second because I want you to get to this place, because I think it's important. Anybody that's new here, I was gone the last couple of weeks. We did an amazing service in Andrews, Texas, and people got saved. I bet there were, 300-400 people there, maybe more. They just filled the stands, and I took Ricky and Daryl and their family with me, and Jamie and my family, and we went and ministered there in Andrews at a big old barn, big covered arena that they do rodeos and things in. So, praise God, I'm back now. But just being gone and seeing people get saved is an amazing, amazing thing. Well, a lot of times we don't tell people that are new that, how long has it been? 18 years now, Betsy? The start of this church? 17 years? Usually I'm under. I was over this time. Amen. The Lord told me not to take a salary at this church. And most of y'all know that, and I've said it before. And is that me? Really? Huh. Better settle down, microphone, because we got several of them. And when the Lord told me that, not to take a salary, I told some of the leadership of the church when we started that that's what the Lord had told me. And one of what I call one of the elders of the church, he said, how are you going to survive? And I said, well, it's real simple, because when God's your provider, you're going to survive. And what it's caused is, since the word spread in amongst the town of Liberty Hill and so on, because obviously there's a lot of people comes from everywhere, and in different towns, all the way in from Austin, you know, to Leander, Cedar Park, Georgetown, you know, Andice, Marble Falls, and Burnett area, Bertram, and so on. And so he asked me how I was going to survive, and I said, well, it's allowed me then to teach on how I believe that God's got to be the provider. Not your job, not your source of income in any way. That's not your provider. God is your provider. And then he'll provide through those kind of things, and he'll increase it. Listen to me, though. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says in verse 6, but this I say, he, that's talking about all of us, when it says he, it means she, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So that's pretty straightforward, right? If you don't sow much, that's what you're going to get, not much. But if you sow bountifully, that's what God's going to provide for you. And so, you want me to go with this, Mike? Is that cable? Okay. We'll just get it up there and see if that works. If not, we'll go to this mic, okay? Okay. So look at verse 7, though. For every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So there's something about your heart, right? There's something about the attitude on how someone gives to the Lord. You don't want to be one of those that is giving sparingly, or because it's the law of the Old Testament. I mess up a lot of preachers because I'm in charge. I pastor a lot of pastors, it seems like. And a lot of ministers call me. And sometimes it's little upsetting when I tell them that really by law, since we're redeemed from the curse of the law, we don't live by the law of the Old Testament anymore. So ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to tithe because of the law. You hear me? You tithe because you get into God's economy of sowing and reaping. The blessing is still there if you'll just be obedient to God in the tithe or the offering or the first fruit or the alms. Most people don't even know there's four great ways of giving. And so it's enabled me then to teach on this stuff. And everybody, when you give according to the purpose of your heart. Because you want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you want to see a church have no debt. Because there's a lot of churches going under because they have so much debt. And we do not have that at this church. We have built these buildings debt-free, praise God. I know we're still believing. Y'all see the ground out there, and they polished it outside the doors. Now we're believing for them to do inside. Well, it's going to cost $18,000. So that's what we've been believing God for. And when it all comes in, then we're going to do that part of it. And then we're going to recarpet this furniture. And so, hey, Mike, let's go to A and
amen. Okay, so if we're going to believe that way for a church, then why wouldn't you believe that way for your own financial lifestyle? Why wouldn't you want to get out of debt? Oh, no man but to love them. Amen. So if we start operating by sowing and reaping here, and we do it with the right heart, I'm telling you, I'll show you people that owe no one but to just love them. You'll be able to help your neighbors in the seasons that they need help. Why? Because God blesses those that give bountifully. So when you're given to the Lord, that's how you need to give. Amen. In that bucket and in this bucket, I want y'all to give with that purpose of your heart. Father, thank you, Lord, that we're going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to help this church continue to move on and teach the gospel of Jesus. And we're going to do it with integrity. Amen. So, if you're going to come give with a big old shout of praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise.
By the way, the youth, it's the second Sunday, right, youth? And the youth are going to stay in here. But here in just a second, we're going to dismiss all the kids for kids' church. Praise the Lord. Look at all these kiddos. Oh, Jesus, praise God. About 5 or 6 years ago, they started coming up here. And I tell you what, don't put that offering or tithe in that bucket without giving it to one of these girls or guys. All right, give them a round, y'all. Way to go. Jesus. Praise God. Well, let's pray over everybody's giving. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that the seed that people gave this morning is going to do what your word says. Your word says if they give bountifully, they'll reap it. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we open up our hearts and we just trust you. And the way we trust you is Luke 6:33 that says, give, and it will be given unto us with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And it'll cause men to give unto us because of the way we gave our heart. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for the seed of the people that gave as a church, sir, and leadership. I can promise you, we will use finances very wisely with integrity. We help a lot of people that have needs in this church. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's do it. Kids' church, I believe it's 11 and under. You're going to go out those back doors, and we're going to do it with a big round of applause. Amen. Love you. Praise the Lord. How many of you brought your Bible? Raise your Bible up. I love doing this. I want to see all the Bibles, the phone Bibles or whatever. It don't matter. I like that. Y'all raise it up on this side one more time. Let me make sure the preachers have Bibles. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you guys when I'm gone. You know, most of you know this, but if you don't, let me tell you. The Lord, in all the years, I first started out really traveling in the ministry, and golly, when we first started as a family is 1984, 83 in that area, and we ministered at a high school rodeo. That's kind of what got us to ministering in the Western world. Of course, most of y'all know my dad worked for John Wayne, the Duke, when I was born in 69. He worked for John Wayne in 68. By the way, they have a museum in Fort Worth now, John Wayne. You need to go to it. And I have books that I'm going to give them. I'm not going to give it to them, but I'm going to let them display them. That when John Wayne would come from Hollywood and he had come to the 26 Bar Ranch that my dad worked on, that was where I was born, up in Arizona. Casa Grande is where I was born, but really Stanfield, Arizona is where the ranch was, and in a feedlot and so on. And they would have Hereford bull sales. And my mom would write down what those bulls would sell for during the sale, and then who bought them. And I'm telling you, I remember one bull sold for like $60,000 in 69, probably because it was John Wayne's ranch, and I don't know. But I remember her putting a lawyer, and his name from Houston is the one that bought that Hereford bull. And then it would have the bull and its picture and its pedigree, and then it would have who bought it. And it's an amazing thing. Well, you have to understand that I was just raised, you know, pretty much Western. You know, that's why we, you know, we're in the Western world. So all those years ago until now, God is doing some amazing, miraculous things. And I'm seeing the Spirit of God move now. I mean, and it's because, you know, how we were raised. And some of the things that mom and dad taught us as kids. And so, well, one thing dad taught us is don't sugarcoat this word. If the Bible says it, let's believe it. And so, I want to just speak a message. I appreciate Bibles and people having them. I think it's important that you get that Bible and you keep it with us, because it's going to answer any question you might have. And if you can't find it in the Word of God, something's wrong. But let me tell you something, a secret. The Holy Ghost will tell you about it if you just spend some time with Him. So I want to minister a message that I preached a little bit of it in Andrews, and I felt like it's appropriate for all of us. But I want to start in a little different place. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And again, I want you to know this morning that you need to have the freedom to allow God to move in all areas of your life. Would you say amen to that? Let me do something. I want to deal with something just real fast. The Lord does this to me quite often. I'm liable to walk down this stage and He'll give me a different message. And that's fine. I want to deal with a couple of things real fast that the Spirit of God told me to deal with while I was praying. And they have to do with health issues. This is the time, listen to me, when the Spirit of God does this, I mean, there's an anointing, a major anointing for healing right now. And so there's a couple of issues that I believe God wants to deal with. And understand this. A lot of times people will come and the Spirit of God will start moving, and they'll want, man, I want you to pray over this and this area of my life. And that might not be the area that God told me to deal with. But listen to me. The same anointing is here to heal anything that is trying to come on you, or if it's already come on you, God wants you to free it. You get it freed from your life in Jesus' name. Amen? And so it doesn't matter what it might be, but the two things that the Spirit of God really took me to while I was praying is joint problems. If you've got joint problems anywhere, I want you to come here and let me lay hands on you right now in Jesus' name. Just any kind of joint. I feel like there's a lot of people that are dealing with these joint issues. I don't know if it's hips or if it's knees or if it's, you know, elbows or whatever, the, you know, shoulders. Whatever it is, we need to deal with it right now. And just come up here and let's tend to it right now in Jesus' name. Whatever it might be, you've got to have faith. And the faith is you stepping out right now. But it's also when I lay hands on you, I want you to receive it in Jesus' name. And that's the expectancy that God wants you to have right now, is that you have that expectancy to receive whatever it is you're needing to receive in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not going to spend lots of time. What I'm going to do, though, is when I touch you, here's what the Bible says. When there's power in agreement as touching. The Bible talks about laying hands on the sick in Mark chapter 16. So when I lay hands on any of you, then that's the point of contact that I want you to receive in Jesus' name. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of healing, that will overtake you if you just dare to believe. So all of you that are up here, how many of you believe that God will heal you right now in Jesus' name? Because you have to believe. Amen? So y'all out there, I want you to stretch your hands towards all these people. If God says to get up and just lay hands on some of them in agreement, then you do that in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, heal this woman. Heal her in Jesus' name. And when I do it, say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Heal them in Jesus' name. Heal. Heal. Father, in Jesus' name. This body, nothing missing, nothing broken. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, she deserves nothing other than to be whole in all areas. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that she is healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Receive that. Father, heal in Jesus' name. Heal. Get your hands up if God tells you to. Heal in the name of Jesus. Heal. Heal. Joints come alive. In the name of Jesus, heal. Heal. In the name of Jesus, heal. Don't accept anything other than complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen? Say, I receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Glory be to God. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Heal. I thank you, Lord, we've already been healed, right? All you're doing is receive it. Now! In Jesus' name, heal. We give you praise. Heal. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Heal. Come on. You deserve it and you got to know it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Heal. Glory. Amen. Now give God glory. Now, go ahead and you can go back. Here's the other thing real fast. Circulation. If you've been having circulation problems, I've dealt with this before, but we need to do it again. I mean, just things. A lot of times that's what hurts some of the joints is circulation. So if you've been having issues with the blood flow, circulation of any type, things that are swelling when it shouldn't, you know, whatever it is, we need to tend to that right now. Amen? Yes, y'all? Thank God. Amen. All right, listen. Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, circulation, veins, arteries, everything that causes blood to flow, be open in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Open up. If it's to the heart, open up in Jesus' name. Open up in Jesus' name. Don't you dare accept anything other than God's best, because you're his favorite. Did you know that? You're his favorite. Well, so am I. But so are you. Well, so are they. Receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Let's move on. Why don't y'all give God just a great hand? He's just so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, let me look at the clock back there. Okay. Just kidding. Okay, what? Look at Hebrews. Y'all in the back, anybody that's gonna title these messages, here's what it is. Accomplishing the will of God. How many would love to, for the will of God to be accomplished in your life? I mean, some people don't even know what the will of God is for their life. They're still searching. Well, listen to me. You need to slow down a lot of times, calm down. Because a lot of times is the enemy just brings issues up called distractions or whatever, and all they're designed to do is to throw you off of the road that God has called you to be on. And He does it to all of us. He doesn't just do it to some. I've always said it like this. Listen to me. And a professional cowboy, I just watched him on TV last night. He called me the other day, and he asked a question based on the message that I preached. And then I'm gonna tend to a lot of it this morning. And it was talking about the enemy, the devil. Because you're going to find out here in just a second that there is an enemy, and he's roaming, seeking whom he may devour, right? So this cowboy calls me, and he asks me, do you really think that the devil attacks people that are not born again, or do you think he just really attacks the born-again people? Well, it was an easy question for me to answer, because the devil is just like God in this way. God is no respecter of persons. In other words, He does not show favoritism. God will bless you just like He blessed Billy Graham. He'll impart things to you just like He will any minister of the gospel. It does not matter if you've spent lots of hours in this Bible more than someone else, He'll still bless that person just based on their faith. You remember Jesus always said, when He was talking about healing, that He always said this, according to your faith, be healed. Well, hopefully everybody's faith is to receive the healing power of God. Well, since God is no respecter of persons, so is the devil. Don't think for one minute that the devil won't mess with an unborn again believer. Well, that doesn't even make sense. The devil will mess with all people. That was a lot better. Matter of fact, he will try to kill a non-believer probably more than a believer. Why? Because he doesn't want them to get saved. And people die a lot, all the time, of drug addictions and overdoses and suicides and those kind of things. So the devil is no respecter of persons. His job, according to John 10:10, is to what? Say it with me. Steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? But if you keep reading, it gets better. Because Jesus came that we might have life, and more abundant life. Praise God. Amen. Okay. So, since a lot of things are going on in this world, then we need to stay hooked to the will of God. We need to accomplish the things that God has called us to do. A lot of times people will get visions and dreams, and when they don't see them come to pass, you know, in the first 6 months or a year, a lot of times they give up on those visions and those dreams. But I'm here to tell you, God wants you to fulfill all the things that He's called you to do and to be in Jesus' name. Come on, someone say amen. Now, so let's go in the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 10. Are y'all there? Say amen if you are. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. I like the Amplified, because it says, do not therefore fleeing away your fearless confidence. There's something about confidence in the kingdom of God. For it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. You see, when the devil destroys someone's confidence, that's when he's got them. Because They don't have no confidence to receive healing. They don't have confidence to be the overcomer that God has called all of us to be. They can't really with confidence speak the word of God sometimes. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. A lot of times it's a little bit of dabbling of fear and doubt and unbelief. And those kind of things then, which are the opposite of faith, how you and I are supposed to live. Remember, what is faith? I mean, I know sometimes we forget to back up and get back to the principles, the start of how you and I are supposed to live. I mean, I teach this in roping. You got to go back to the basics of a swing. And you're coming around, and this loop is coming around your head, and it can't figure eight. It has to stay an open loop. So you got to make sure you're using your wrist, turning that rope over, and your whole arm, and you're coming by your eye. Well, those are the basics of a swing of a rope. Because if you don't do it right, you'll knock off your hat. When you throw it to the target, it probably won't get there. There's a lot of the basics that people need to remember when you're dealing with roping. Well, it's the same with the Word of God. We've got to get back to the basics. Faith, according to Hebrews, is this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In other words, you've got to believe in a God that you cannot see. Because why? He's in heaven, right? The Father. And again, I've always said it like this. We cannot see Jesus, the third of the Trinity, the second of the Trinity, the Father, the Son. We can't see Him even though several people did. 33 and a half years, they say. But you and I can't see Him. Why? Because He's where? The Bible says He ascended after He descended. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. Amen? Okay. We can't see Him though, so by faith, we gotta trust that He's real. Well, we've got this though. We've got the Word. The Bible says it's truth and won't return void. Okay, so what the enemy is trying to do in these days is to ruin our confidence. But man, let's not let that happen. So look at this again as we read again 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. Verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Look at the Amplified in verse 36. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance. In other words, you got to keep believing no matter what that devil does to you, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God. In other words, God wants you to be in His will. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. He wants you to be in the blessing flow. He wants you to be in the promises that He set forth for you and I as a believer, that are all found in this Bible, by the way. And when you have confidence that His Word actually works, then you won't believe the lies of the devil. Listen, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, y'all. If a doctor tells you you only have 6 months to live, you're either going to believe his report or you're going to believe the report of the Lord. My suggestion would be believe the report of the Lord, and I'll show you someone that will live and not die in Jesus' name. But I'm telling you, while all this crud is happening to one's flesh and one's body, it's sometimes hard to believe for the healing power of God. But I'm here to tell you, if you'll just not allow your confidence to wane, I'm telling you, God will start doing things and you'll start receiving the manifestations of healing that you're believing God for. It's going to take you getting into that Word and constantly confessing over and over and over that I am healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, y'all. We've got to get our faith up, in other words. Because listen, here's the problem. Let's flip on over then to 1 Peter. And go fast. It's to the right. 1 Peter and go to chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5. Because here's something that you and I need in these days. And how many would agree that it seems like these days the enemy is attacking more right now than any other time in life? I mean, it just seems like it's over and over. And if you watch the news, woo, Jesus, it's negative constantly. It seems like our country now again is going back from what we fought for 4 years. And don't you dare get upset over politics being talked about in this church. Because the reason that our country has gone back to the days of Babylon and unbelief is because Christians has not stood up and declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's time that you and I get a backbone in our chest out and say, no, we're not serving a United States of America that takes God out of it. And until we stand up and have some bold enough preachers to preach the Word of God without fear of people getting upset. Okay. I don't know where that came from, but receive it. Okay, listen to me though, because this will help all of us. Watch this. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Who would love to be exalted by God? You know what happens, though? Because of sin, because of your past, we feel like we're not worthy. How many of you was raised like I was raised, hearing those words, we're not worthy? You're not worthy, son. I grew up in a denomination that's all they said. You know, we're not worthy. Well, I've always said it like this. We are not worthy before Christ. But after Christ, we're worthy. You know why? Because we're a son of God. We're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're not just a servant of God. You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You and I are worthy. But listen to me. We still have to be humble. We're not holier than thou. We're not trying to be better than someone. We're just tired of the devil trying to mess with us. We're just tired of the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you and I and our families. But if you'll forget about sin though, and all the things you did back when, and the only reason I talk about college and the party was at my house is because I'm a living testimony of coming out of darkness. I'm not saying I was serving the devil because I was born again. I just walked away from God for 2 years. And the party again was at my house. But one day I got on my knees and I said, God, I know better. I know better, sir. And I said out of my mouth, I said, God, forgive me, sir. And I'm telling you right then, not only did God forgive me, but you know what else is better? He forgot all the sin that I did as far as the east is to the west. He does not remember it anymore. But by golly, my friends do. Woo, they remember everything I did bad. But my God doesn't. And there's times when I've got to tell myself, since the enemy is trying to ruin my confidence, as I tell myself, you know what? I'm more than a conqueror. I am someone in Christ Jesus. My marriage is successful and will be healed, prosperous, joyful all the days of my life. My children, they are trained up in the ways of the Lord. And when they depart, or if they try to depart, they'll always come back. Matter of fact, they won't depart. Why? Because we trained them up right. I'm not saying they might not get rebellious or not need a butt whipping. The kids are like, I should have left for the youth group. But there's something about training someone up in the ways of the Lord. Not being ashamed of that. There's something about going to school and standing up for your God. So being humble, look at that. God will exalt you in due time. Look at 7. Casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, here it is, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Right. You ought to underline that. Because you know what that means? That the devil is no respecter of persons. He just doesn't pick on one person. You may think he does. No, he tries to mess with all of us. But here's the good news. We have an overcoming faith because of the shed blood of Jesus. Thank God for the Son of God dying for you and I. So, verse 10, and then I'm going to share four things with you. Look at verse 10. But the God of grace, who has called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, thank the Lord, after that you have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settles you. Now, four things I want to deliver to you just real fast that will help you accomplish the will of God in your life is these four things. Number one, ready? Cast every care upon the Lord. Don't you dare hold on to something. If God's dealing with you in one area of your life that you just have not letting God in, let Him in. And I mean, I'm sure there's several examples that I can list right now. For the Western world, you know what the biggest one is? Tobacco. Tobacco. And I'm telling you, it's the biggest pull because it's an addictive thing. Just ask any cowboy. I mean, tobacco. Well, but I've been dipping the stuff for years and years, or people that smoke. I've been doing the stuff for 30, 40, 50 years sometimes. I started doing it when I was a little kid, some say. But that's one area that defeats a lot of people. But yet, you want to talk about a crowd, get quiet. Dealing with things that we just hadn't let God in on. Well, if we'll do number one, that's going to help us cast every single care upon Him. Here's the second thing. And again, I want to receive from the Lord. I want to be in His perfect will. I don't want to just be in His submissive will, right? I don't want to be just, you know, no, I want to be in the full blessing of God. I want to see the manifest. I want to see this power full of the power of God. I don't want to see us at another dead church service. I want to see the power of God flowing. I want to see people healed by the power of God. Someone called, wrote, as you probably hear, and said, hey, when you prayed for my neck, I was healed, praise God. Other people have called and just gave us testimonies of, when we lay hands on you, you need to receive that healing, and then we need to know about it. When I laid hands on backs, man, and I did this one time in Lovington, New Mexico. A guy walks to me like this. Hello, Brother Corey. I said, how you doing? He said, well, my back's hurting. Would you lay hands on me? I said, absolutely. This was a steer roper. If I knew his name, I'll tell you later. I'll find his name. Because you'll know him. He's from New Mexico. And he came like this, and I was preaching. So I just laid hands on him, and I said, Father, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, to lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. The Bible says by Jesus' stripes, what He took by the cat of nine tails 39 times, by His stripes, He's healed. Well, I said, in Jesus' name, amen. He said, thank you, Brother Corey. But 15 minutes later, he came and said, I gotta tell you, I hadn't been able to raise my hands in about 2 weeks. And he just straightened up by the power of God in Jesus' name. Okay. There's something about, though, letting the Spirit of God in all areas of our lives and not keeping Him out. That's one area I don't want to deal with yet, sir. It might be anger. You just hadn't got delivered from that spirit of anger. I don't know what it might be, but I'm here to tell you, you do. And let me tell you this, God knows, okay? Don't think for one minute that God doesn't know. But listen to me. He's not a God of guilt. He's not a God of condemnation. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. So He already knows your problem. You don't have to hide. Now, you may be hiding it from all of us, but you can't hide it from God. So why wouldn't you rather just cast that care over upon Him? And if you were smart, you'd go to someone you trust. Don't go to someone you don't trust, because it'd be all over social media. You go to someone you trust and say, hey, I need your agreement. And I don't care how bad it is. Ask the judge. She deals with a lot of people that have major problems, and she just loves on them. And there's something about getting someone that you trust that's not going to go spread it and that's not going to look down on you. You come to me, I can promise you. You know what my spiritual dad taught me? He said, the first thing you need to always say, Glenn Smith, the first thing you always need to say when you're ministering to someone is this statement: thank God it wasn't me. Because it could have been me instead of them. They're just bold enough to say, this is what I'm going through. So I'm not going to look down on you. No, I want you to cast every care upon the Lord. Here's number two. The second thing that will help us accomplish the will of God in our life that you find right here in 1 Peter chapter 5 is the second thing found in verse 8. Be balanced. Be cautious at all times. Why? Well, let's read it. In verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I've always done, I did it at the college national finals one time. And I was telling you earlier that I started in the traveling ministry. And then, we do a service at the national finals in Las Vegas. We did the only service at the national finals this year in Arlington. What a mighty thing that God just opened the door for me. He could have asked anybody. But we've traveled, and then the Lord told me to, begin to start this church. I started one in Lubbock, started an outreach in El Paso, an outreach in Albany, Texas, an outreach in Canyon, Texas, and a lot of God just moved in mighty, mighty ways. And so with that, the Lord has never allowed me to stop traveling. So when these ministers are ministering up here, I can't thank you enough for you three to get behind this podium and still preach the uncompromised Word of God. And I thank you very, very much. Now, where was I? When you're talking about, thank you, Mama. That's why you're there. In my earshot, because she'll remind me. Because you get on rabbit trails as preachers, right? I'll do this at the college national finals because there's a devil. Him, the new people. It's their first time. Yeah, I can mess with them. Can I?
Sure.
What? You're supposed to say no in Jesus' name. Get thee behind me. I
mean. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
No. Now wait a minute. Your neighbor said rebuke him. But that's true, because remember, I'm just acting like the devil. I'm not really one, okay? Good look. Yeah, she gave me that woman look like...
not the fiddle player. What about this teenager?
Did you hear?
No, please. Okay, well, you got to work on the confidence just a little bit more. But someone beside you with some agreement will go, I got your back. You see what the enemy does? He's seeking. He's roaming. Trying to find someone. Mm-mm, not them. He's trying to find the emotional one, which... Okay, he starts roaming more. I know he can't mess with this woman of God, right?
Get behind me.
I got him. But this one right here... I can mess with this one right here. Can't I?
Yes.
What? No. A little bit of doubt there. No, I'm just kidding, man. Oh, yeah. I remember her. I've seen her cry before.
There we go. There we go.
See?
Because
that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to get the vulnerable at times. Not all the time, though. Because you don't stay there, right? You get yourself back up. Because the enemy, he wants to keep you down, right? He's roaming, seeking whom he may devour. But if you stay balanced, if you stay cautious that, yes, there is a devil, because a lot of times you might just be walking and you fall into temptation. But the Bible says in James to count it all joy, right? Listen, it's very important to be balanced, but to be cautious at all times, because the enemy's constantly wanting you to get upset. He's constantly wanting you to get offended and leave the church. But when you tell him, no, I'm not going to get offended, not another day in my life. I have the love of God all over me. And even though I've made mistakes, my God is a forgiving God. He again is not a God of guilt or condemnation. My God is a God of forgiveness. And I'm going to move past. I'm not going to mess with the things that are behind me. I'm going to seek the forward things. I'm going to move forward into the call of God in my life. You see, when we stay balanced and cautious, that's when you're an overcomer and you accomplish the will of God in your life. Here's the third thing real fast. Withstand Him. Be immovable. Now there's areas that I want to deal with just real fast. How about marriages? Marriages are under attack right now. Why? Because whatever reason, a lot of times it's financial, a lot of times it's control. I mean, there's a lot of things that try to mess with marriages, but I'm here to tell you, you need to be immovable. Don't allow the enemy to get you upset over this area. No, we need to work on our love walk, to be real honest. We need to work on our love walk. Because then, if we just said, you know what, Father, I just love you. Thank you being my God. It'd change your attitude in lots of areas. If it's at work, I mean, you're just dealing with a lot of things at work. You know what you need to do? Cast your cares upon the Lord. Stay balanced. Not allow things to move you. No, you need to withstand the devil. Remember what the word says when you've done all you can do to stand? Stand. Say that again. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. I always tell people when they don't know what God has called them to do, I always say stand still. Don't take a step until you know. Because if you take a step, I know you might think it's by faith, but if you take a step without God's permission, I mean, because then, remember, there's a roaring lion. The devil seeking, if he can get you off that road, you'll be in the submissive will of God maybe, but you'll not be in the perfect will of God. And guys, we need to be in the perfect will of God. So we've got to withstand him. I tell those ministers, look, if you don't know the direction for your church, then you just keep standing. And you don't make a move until you feel the peace of God. By the way, that's how you hear from God, right? Y'all know that, right? Because a lot of people ask me, how do you hear from God? By your peace. When you've got peace about something, not a counterfeit peace, not a peace that's not everlasting, because that's why people do drugs, and that's why they do alcohol, is because it gives you a temporary peace, but it's not an everlasting peace. No, when you get that everlasting peace, that joy that's everlasting, whoo, Jesus, that's what will change your life. Let me give you the fourth thing, and then I'll close. Here's the fourth thing that will help you accomplish the will of God in your life, is the understanding that God will strengthen you. Say amen to that, y'all. God's on your side, in other words. He's not against you. A lot of people think, well, you know, God will humble you. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say God will humble you. The Bible says humble yourself. It doesn't say just, you know, I've told this story before, but I'll never forget a man. He meant well, but he was not right. You ever had any of those? I mean, they meant well, but he wasn't right, because I had all my lawn equipment. This is before I submitted to God. I was probably 22, 23, 24 years old. And we would do whatever it took to you know, pay the bills. So I started a lawn and landscape business in San Angelo, where we lived at the time. And I mean, I had big business. I had over $100,000 in business. I took care of 3 Burger Kings. I took care of Whataburgers. I took care of banks. I took care of the highway department on the sides of the roads and all those bushes. I think I planted 120 oleanders at the highway department in San Angelo, Texas. And then I mowed lots of lawns. I landscaped Pier 1 in, and still to this day, I'm the one that hydromotes the grass. I planted all the bushes. I hope they're not dead. And one day, I had to leave town, and I asked a guy that had been working for me for a little bit to go do his route. And not knowing that the guy had some trouble issues, he's had some problems. And when I came back from like 2 or 3 days, remember that, Jamie? My truck was gone. My trailer was gone. My 38-inch belly mower was gone. My 48-inch front end mower was gone. My Honda push mowers were gone. All my weed eaters, everything was gone. And I couldn't find it for about 2 or 3 days. And then a policeman that was a friend of mine said, "Hey, I think we found your stuff, at least the trailer and all the equipment." And he pawned it right down the road for $300. Not my truck, though. The truck still hadn't been found until 2 days later. Then the police calls from Big Spring, and he had driven it from San Angelo to Big Spring, and it was parked at the Rip Griffin truck stop with the window down and the keys gone. And he had gotten into with a trucker, and I think they found him way up north, northeast, way up in there. And a man came to me, and he said, "Brother, you know when things are going bad?" And I just had all my stuff stolen. I'd missed a week of all those accounts and fulfilling the contracts. And he said, "Brother, you know, when these kind of things happen, it's the Lord trying to tell you and teach you something." Well, you know what that did? That immediately blamed God for someone stealing my stuff. It was not God. You see, there's a devil that comes to steal, that comes to try to destroy you and I. But when we understand God will strengthen you right in the midst of a trial, look at verse 10 again real fast in the Amplified. "And after you have suffered a little while," listen to me, "the God of grace, who imparts all blessings and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself," thank God for that, underline that, "complete and make you what you ought to be, establishes you, he grounds you securely, strengthens you, and settles you. Listen to me. From now on, you need to understand that God is your source. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the God Almighty. You'll fear no evil. Why? Because He's your refuge and He's your fortress. He's your provision in all things, and that's what we need to pray. He's our everything, y'all. God is our source of everything. That's why we've got to cast our cares upon Him. That's why we got to believe for healing. That's why we got to stand, even in the midst of a trial and tribulation, and understand, number four, that God is our source of strength. Come on. I mean, He's our everything. All you got to do is get off your high horse and humble yourself and cast those cares upon Him and allow God to come in the areas that you have not allowed Him to deal with you in. And then stand. Stand against the enemy that tries to steal, kill, and destroy your life in every area. And if you'll do that, victory. 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 Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me and He with His redeeming blood. He loves me ere I knew Him, and all my is due Him. He plunged me to, say it better than that. He plunged me to victory. Let's do it again. He plunged me to victory. I mean, if you can't sing, shout it. Ready? He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen. So if you're going through a tough time, do like my dad taught me. Ask me how much I care. That's what I say to the devil. Ask me. When people have been offended, or they come against me, or they make up rumors, you know how many rumors have been made up against me? This church has bought my home, my horses, all kinds of junk. Oh, really? I mean, we need to take up an offering for another horse, but... Jamie's like, no, we don't. We got plenty. How many of you know it's time to have victory? Amen. Did y'all enjoy this morning? Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for a wonderful time in the presence of You, a wonderful God. Now, Father, if there's someone watching or in this audience that does not know You, I ask You to draw their heart to You right now in Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. As y'all would know, I would never leave this service or any service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. So the question this morning is, if you died and left this earth, and I'm not speaking death on you, I'm just asking you to think about something. If you left this earth, where would you go? Now, obviously, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, according to John chapter 14, He's the way, truth, and life. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you're gonna reside in a place called heaven. Now, heaven might be here on earth like the 1,000-year reign that we had talked about without sin after the tribulation. But you're going to reside with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. But without Jesus, the ones that say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, and you decide to not make Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe the devil has confused you and just convinced you that it's okay as long as you're a good person. Well, we know we don't get to heaven by works. We only get to heaven by receiving the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So Romans 10 says this, if you'll confess Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And that's what I want you to be. I want you to give Jesus your life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I ask you to do it now. Don't you dare wait. No, do it now. And we're going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask you, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know what would happen to you if you died. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or you don't know if you'd go to hell. Do not choose hell, I'm telling you. That is a terrible place. Well, you will suffer forever and ever and ever and ever. But that's why Jesus was sent, so that you could receive him and go to a place called heaven when you die and leave this earth. If you receive Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in that place called heaven. But if you don't know where you're going to go, when we pray this prayer, pray it out loud. But listen to me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to even ask you to come to the front of the church like I did when I got saved. I'm going to ask you right where you're sitting to pray this prayer out loud. But all the believers in here are going to pray it with you. So believers, you know the reason I have you all pray the salvation prayer is that, number one, you'll be some comfort to someone beside you or around you that has never given their life to Jesus. And you're going to pray this prayer with them, possibly. But also, you need to learn this prayer. Monty Price said it this way, you need to learn the spirit of the prayer so that you can learn and lead people to Jesus that will not come to this church, because that's where our heart ought to be. And that's why God has never released me from traveling. Still, I still go out and tell people about Jesus, because no one else will. A lot of times they think it's too expensive. Well, it is, but God's my provider. That's why people graciously give to me and Jamie, not because we do gimmicks, because God puts it on their heart. And I thank you for that. So if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with all of us. And believers, again, pray this prayer with us as well. And let's pray and ask Jesus into our heart and pray just like this. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, no looking around, just real fast. I don't want to embarrass anybody. If you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus into your life this morning, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand and say, God, I meant that prayer. I gave my life to you this morning in Jesus' name. And then put your hand right back down. I want you to do it with boldness, because Jesus was never ashamed of you. He died for you. Please don't be ashamed of him. Let people know. And here's one way to do it. If you just gave your life to Jesus with no one looking around, and you got saved this morning, you prayed that prayer, and you meant it, when I say three, get your hand up. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it so much. Glory be to God. Give me a Bible, somebody. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so honored. Hallelujah. God bless you. Oh, it's an honor. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. 4 or 5. Hallelujah. All right, look at me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's where my heart is. The four that got Bibles, inside that Bible is a little card. Please fill it out if you don't mind. It just, again, man, we want to help you. We don't harass you. We just want to help you, because I have new brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to be family. Amen? So it's an honor that you raise your hand. You're our family. Amen? Listen to me. Real fast, before we're dismissed. Most of you know that the rodeo is coming up real fast. April the 12th is when the books open to enter the rodeo. So we got to really spread the word on social media. So if you see Liberty Hills ad, we don't have any magazines anymore. They all stopped this year because social media is how everybody gets stuff out. And I wasn't ready for that. I've always counted on a what was it, a Daily Times magazine, Cowboy Sports News, to advertise, and I called him and said, hey, put this ad in for, you know, March and April, and he called me back like 3 days later and says, hey, after 30 years, we have shut down the magazine because everything, again, is done through social media. So this is how we're going to have to let the cowboys and cowgirls know to enter. But we also have to let people know that the only way to bring cowboys and cowgirls in is you add money. And so we have a lot of sponsorship. And they told me yesterday, Mike did, that we have a few event sponsors that opened up. Usually they're very, very hard to get at this rodeo now. People call us to get them. But I think there's maybe two events that people did last year that either have not called or we can't get a commitment from them, so we're going to open them up. And we also have a couple of scholarships that are available. We give like $6,000+ scholarships to high school seniors in our town. And you want to talk about a blessing. And so if you want to be a part of the sponsorship, this is when I ask my crowd, you know, businesses that want to be a part, this is the time to get them going. I don't care if it's a $300 banner that goes in the arena or if it's an event sponsor that's a little more expensive, or because every little bit helps. Amen. Mike is in the back, and you can go to him. Everybody turn around and look at Mike. He's got his hand up. Mike is in charge of sponsorship. And again, it's going to be 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, packed. We're going to have a carnival. It's one of the biggest rodeos in this part of the country that's not a professional besides the steer open. This is an open rodeo, even though all the professionals enter it. It's not a PRCA. It just costs too much to do a PRCA. But I do a Ron Ross Memorial for my dad, steer roping, that is professional, and we add 20,000 to it. So you want to talk about the best in the world, come here. And it's an amazing, amazing event. So the crowd comes from everywhere. We televised this, by the way, or we've done commercial shots. And so several of our bigger sponsors are on commercials already in the Austin, which is Travis County, Williamson County, and Burnett County is going to be on television to just support the rodeo. Amen. And so see, Mike, about any kind of sponsorship. I want to thank all the welders. Oh man, the arena is looking good. I know I did a big thing by moving the chutes to the other end of the arena. The rope and chutes are not on this end of the arena any longer. They have been moved to the other end for different reasons. Cattle was getting scared from the crowd, and it makes more sense to be on this side. Those welders have done an amazing job. And so just a few more things that we need to do and believe God for, and thank God for. Do you have anything? Weather permitting, work day Saturday. If you love to dig post holes, he said, show up Saturday. Amen. I'm sure people are commenting right now, I can't wait to dig a hole. Anything else? All right. As we dismiss, anybody that's getting baptized, I want you to start right now and head on out. If you need to change, we're going to baptize a few people right now. Like whole families are going to get baptized. Change right quick. And then anybody, amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Real fast. Come here. Hurry. Because the TV audience can't hear you if you just yell it. And I want them to hear. So.
About 5 or 6 weeks ago when you had everybody stand up for headaches, in 2017 I fell off a roof and fractured my skull, and I was taking 9 to 12 Excedrin every day for that since then. And since that Sunday, I have not had one headache.
Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. That's what it's all about. Amen. As we dismiss, anybody that can, I want you to surround that baptism right there. And it's just a testimony when people can see someone baptized by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the death burial of the old them and the resurrection of the new them. If you've been saved at this church and you've never been baptized, you need to. It's your first act of obedience when you give your life to Jesus is the baptism, because it's the death and burial of the old you. And being baptized is very, very important. You need to say something? Come here. Yeah. Yeah. You want to do it today?
Yeah.
Amen.
Going to the field.
She's going life. To the mission field. How long?
For life.
For life.
I have some newsletters on the back where the bookcase is, but I want you to lay hands on me and pray and send me off.
And you're going to
Papua New Guinea.
New Guinea. She told my wife there's no hot water. And what else?
There's no running water.
Oh, there's no running water, period.
But they have Facebook.
Stretch your hands towards this lady. Father, first of all, it's a pleasure. I'm going to miss her so much when she leaves. She has been so important to this church in intercessory prayer. But Father, you have now called her out. The church didn't call her out. You did. But this church is going to support her. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you cover this woman of God. You cover her. We pray Psalms 91 over her. Father, you give her favor every time she opens her mouth, that Jesus will just jump on every single person that hears her voice. I ask you to protect her in all areas. I thank you, Lord, for favor with the government, with the people. And Father, the mission field is ripe. And so we send her out in agreement with you, sir, that she is highly favored. She is ordered by you. She is protected by you, and you get all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I'm going to miss you. But you'll stay in touch, right? They still do smoke signals, right? Oh, yeah, Facebook. Never mind. Hey, we're going to pray. Yes, ma'am. Let's do that. Thank you, Mama. All right. That's a great idea. Let's just do that right now. This bucket right here. Anybody that wants to bless her, to send her off, I want you to put whatever God tells you to in this bucket. Everything that comes in, we'll just give it to her. Amen? What a blessing. Amen. Let me be the first. Well, that was still sticking. Those still sticking up. Let's just give that too then. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, as people get baptized right now, it'll be to the glory of you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the people that gave their lives to you. God, thank you. That's what this church is all about first, is get people saved. But then we got to get them discipled, and we got to get them mentored, and we got to get them set free and healed and delivered to your glory. So with all the things that you have built here at this church, with the ministers that are ministering at the times that they minister, God, I want to thank you. All the people that help usher and are behind the scenes, all our employees, God, I can't thank you enough for causing the vision not to change when I leave for a week or two. That this church has never had a split like some denominations and other churches have. So I thank you for protecting the vision behind this church, and the first vision is people getting saved. So thank you for those four. We love you, sir. Now as we go and baptize, it's an honor to do that obedience of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ in their lives. Amen. We love you, Lord. Give God big old praise as you're dismissed.